With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my new podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, chronicles my 6 decades in professional basketball, from growing up in the sport to becoming one of sports TV's first female broadcasters. Join me as I dig deep into the game's history, unearth some wild stories, and talk to my friends from the world of basketball, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley. It's been a wild ride, and now I get to take you with me. Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Lan He Chen is a candidate for California State Controller and David and Diane Steffi Fellow in American Public Policy Studies at the Hoover Institution, Director of Domestic Policy Studies at Stanford University, which is certainly plenty to keep him busy. Lan He, how are you?
Great to be with you. Good morning.
Joe's, good morning.
Joe has got a thought-provoking good question for a policy guy like you. I'm going to start with this. Very simple question. So I'm looking at the AP poll, NBC poll, a couple different polls. Right direction, wrong direction. Somewhere between 8 or 9 out of 10 Americans think we're headed in the wrong direction. You, Lonnie Chen, you're walking down the street. Guy with the clipboard stops you and says, is America headed in the right direction or the wrong direction? Which box do you choose?
Oh, I mean, I think it's certainly in the wrong direction, and I think the primary reason for that is because of the state of the economy.
Okay, so there, and, that's a, you're a wrong direction guy. I just wanted to add that.
Oh,
or,
yeah.
You're right or wrong. We're wrong direction. You're a wrong direction guy. That's perfect.
Okay, well, let's get into the economy. It struck me as Jack was talking about getting ready for Memorial Day, the hot dogs, burgers, and a couple of condiments will probably cost you about $75.
No kidding.
Lan He, we are obviously facing rampant inflation. Stock market that's down more, 8 weeks in a row, which is the most since 1932, folks. We're looking at a number of financial headwinds. Public policy-wise, because that is your field of study, what are the probable policy prescriptions going to be, and what will they look like as they play out, trying to control an overheated economy?
Yeah, I mean, the problem is this is one of those things that once it gets going, it is a lot harder to reverse it than it would have been to try and slow it down, if that makes any sense. So the primary way that we would deal with this would be the Federal Reserve Bank can calibrate the Fed funds rate, essentially the primary rate at which money is lent, and that can affect essentially how hot the economy is going. And so the Fed has two missions, right? One is to ensure full employment in the economy, and the other is to watch out for inflation. And so how do you draw the balance between the two? Unfortunately, for the last couple of years, we've had what people call easy money. Essentially, you were able to borrow money for very cheaply, and you had a massive expansion in the money supply because policymakers in Washington, in Congress, and also both President Trump and President Biden put a lot of stimulus into the economy. So when you combine all those factors together, you end up with a very, very hot economy. You also have a tight labor market, right? There's pretty much everybody who wants to work is working now. And so the combination of that with historically low rates has brought us to where we are now. Now, why is the stock market doing what it's doing? Why are we feeling all this pressure now? Because they're having to raise interest rates very quickly and quite dramatically in order to combat the inflationary pressure we're seeing in the economy. So the short answer to your question is there aren't a ton of things that the policymakers in Washington, I mean the president and Congress, can do. There are things they can do to make it worse, don't get me wrong. But in terms of making it better, there aren't a ton of things and tools available to them to address the challenge. It really is a question of what the Fed can do and what the Fed is doing now to try and deal with inflation.
I'm tempted to live in the past. I like the idea of living in the now and the future, as Joe's asking the question, what can we do? But the living in the past part is, why did we have to spend another however many trillion dollars to make it this much worse? Why, oh God, I wish we hadn't done that. And, you know, and Joe Biden taking credit for the how good the economy is in recent weeks. You tried as hard as you could to spend another $5 trillion. You only got stopped by one senator for spending five more trillion dollars. God, what would inflation be today? Day if they had, if Joe Manchin wasn't alive. Oh my God.
Well, that's exactly the right question. I mean, it's amazing if you think about how much worse even this problem would have been if they'd gotten their way and they passed that massive, you know, I forgot whether they called it the Green New Deal. They kept changing the name of it, right? And at the end of the day, whatever it was that they wanted to do. And here's the problem, guys. There are policymakers in Washington and in state capitals across the country, Sacramento being primary amongst them, who are talking about spending more still.
Right.
Who are talking about, well, the way that we do this is by putting even more stimulus into the economy, as if they haven't learned the lesson from what we're seeing now with gas prices and prices for milk and everything else. It's tremendously irresponsible, but unfortunately, that is where the conversation is. And instead of actually helping things, they have the potential to actually make things worse.
You know, I'm familiar with quotations about politics going way, way back in the history of the Republic, and there has always been cynicism in politics, probably starting with, like, the second presidential election, and there's always been pandering. But there seems to me now an almost complete divorce between what you will promise people to get to the polls and what you're willing to actually do, knowing it will harm the country. Because I guess my question is, do the politicians who are pushing, continuing to spend money wildly in an inflationary time, do they not understand what they're doing, or are they doing it cynically?
You know, I think it's the combination of a couple different factors. Number one is, I think there are some people who have argued over the last couple of years that there's been an alternate strain, to use the language of our time. There's an alternate strain of thinking about monetary policy, which is that actually it doesn't matter how much you borrow. It doesn't matter essentially how large your debt load is. It doesn't matter, right? At the end of the day, because it's so cheap to borrow, why does it matter? It's something called modern monetary theory. And there are some on the left, particularly on the far left, who have espoused this notion that it really doesn't matter. And so if you buy into that and you really are a true believer, then it doesn't matter how much you spent, right? So I will give some of these guys the benefit of the doubt and say some of them genuinely do not believe they caused the inflationary pressure we're seeing today. Some of them genuinely do not believe they are responsible for the economic calamity that is impacting so many families across our country right now. So that's some percentage of them. Some percentage of them will just say whatever it takes to get elected. And then when they get there, they'll deal with the consequences later. They'll figure out how to distract and deflect. And they don't really care about what it is they do or don't do, because at the end of the day, politics is about the most recent outrage or the most recent way you can take a topic that has absolutely nothing to do with something else and try to turn it into the animating factor to get people out to vote because they're so angry. So, yes, it's the combination, I think, of idiocy and cynicism. And that is why we are where we are today.
Wow.
I mean, it is galling to me, guys. It is galling to me that you have, for example, Gavin Newsom standing up there talking about, hey, let's go out and spend the entirety of this supposed $100 billion surplus we have in California, instead of investing long run in, oh, I don't know, things we might need like water storage and roads. Instead of actually doing that, we're going to do some one-time political giveaways that make him and his colleagues feel better. But at the end of the day, don't do a single thing to address the price of milk, the price of gas, the price of anything else in our state or nationally. So this is the kind of politics we end up in now, where people are so focused on, what can I do to advance my political interests, as opposed to saying, can we put the state and the country first?
Wow, that is what you just heard is one of the primary reasons the major newspapers of California, including the liberal ones, have endorsed Lon He for a California state controller, which keeps an eye on the purse strings.
Yeah, so is the way that would work if you were controller and Gavin Newsom was governor and he was proposing doling out more money when we got this high inflation, would you be going to the press and saying, I think this is a bad idea?
Well, I think the first thing we got to do that I'd be doing is I'd be saying, how about we get some accountability for what we've already spent money on? And because this is the primary challenge, right, is that if you don't have any sense of what the impact of your spending has been, I think it's very difficult to then go out and make the argument, hey, let's go spend more. We don't have any idea what the first $20 billion did, but gosh, the next $20 billion could be even better. And the point that I'm making is I'm saying, hey, slow down a second, guys. Why don't you figure out what the first $20 billion did and where that first $20 billion went, and then let's have a conversation about what you want to do with this. Because in my mind, we have a couple of different ways of doing this in California, right? We actually have a rainy day fund, which is supposed to be there to save for when times aren't as good. We have a mechanism that actually requires some of that surplus to be returned to taxpayers. It's a novel concept, right? A tax rebate when you have a massive surplus. Mm. So there are a lot of different things that you could do with the money. And my basic point is California is the one state where we actually don't have accountability and transparency into how we spend money. And so it's very hard to have a truly rational and thoughtful debate. I know it's a crazy concept, but you can't have that if you don't have the basic information. So what I would say as if I were controller is, you know, Governor, you want to spend all this money. How about we take a look at the efficacy of the spending you've already passed?
Lon, you're talking crazy talk, Lon. You want accountability for government programs? Holy cow. Who is this guy?
I got one more question, and I don't want to be, you know, a wet blanket on a Friday and everything like that. But I remember hearing George Will saying one time, one of the essence of being a conservative is recognizing what is. And I just lay out for people what's coming this summer. I mean, is it reasonable to expect prices are going to continue to go up? Gas is going to be more expensive. Groceries are going to be even more expensive for the near future. Is that just a reality?
Yeah, I do think you're going to see prices continue to be elevated. I think the question is what the trend is going to look like. Is it going to be as fast and as rapid as we've seen? Probably not. I think some of this does start to level out, but it's leveling out now at a pretty high,
right,
a pretty high point. And I'll tell you, the next thing on the horizon, guys, is the R word. It is recession. Because invariably what happens is once you reach this point where prices become so high, you're going to start to see people begin to say, do I want to spend $1,000 to fly to New York for vacation? Do I want to buy? Discretionary spending is going to go first, right? And because at some point people are going to say, right, hey, it cost me $200 to fill up my truck with gas. I can't afford to do this other stuff. That's why you begin to have recessionary pressure, because the economy slows, economic activity slows, and that is the next thing on the horizon. So if you look at the economic forecast a lot of major banks, for example, are putting out now, they are talking about this country being in recession when we get to early 2023. And the reason why they say that is because all of the signs we're seeing are beginning to flash yellow or red. And they forecast a slowdown that, unfortunately, has been several years in the making.
Well, yikes. Lon He Chen, candidate for California State Controller with the Hoover Institution, Stanford University, Director of Domestic Policy Studies there. Lon He, it's always enlightening, perhaps not as cheery as usual today, but again, facing up to reality is, you know, what adults do, right?
And with that, have a good weekend.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much. You too.
God, I was listening to a podcast yesterday with a bunch of really smart people talking about how the way experts look at things. How did we end up in a situation where the market got rattled this week when Target and Walmart said something that should have been obvious to everybody? Prices are high, so people are buying a lot less stuff. So we're going to make a lot less money than we have in the past. How is that a shock to America and the markets? The markets got rattled by the realization that people are really feeling the pinch of these high prices and are going to spend less money at Target and Walmart. Isn't that wild that it took their actual report to come in before the markets got so shocked? I mean, it's just obviously that was going to happen.
Yeah, it does kind of have the feel of the palace elite are there in their grand gowns sipping their champagne, and it takes a very long time for them to hear that the villagers are really angry, and in fact one just burnt down and things are not going well out there. They're insulated in the palace, I think.
And I know we're out of time, but one of the other things that somehow everybody missed was the so-called good news that consumer spending was up. You know why it was up? Because prices were up. I bought the same amount of milk and gas, but I spent more money. That didn't mean I was optimistic. It cost more. And somehow the experts missed that, apparently.
Extra large.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.